Today is Thursday, July the 7th, 192nd day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Sheriff and a guy with a big budget, Mike Downey.
Stop it.
Well, it's starting the first of the year.
Yeah, it is.
Tomorrow it's less. Right. The next day it's less. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's big today.
That's true. You got me there.
You know, well, okay, I'll throw. This is a catch and release this morning.
Yes.
So you're back in the pond.
Please let me go. Yeah.
Our quote this morning comes from H.G. Bohn, not pronounced bone, but spelled the same way as a certain somebody that many of us know. 1855, quote, good neighbors and true friends are two different things.
That's the truth.
Yeah. So how's the pot harvest season coming along?
Swimmingly. We guys went out yesterday and eradicated about 11,000 plants in one spot. And so we're starting off in a robust way.
Was that another one of the hit list that you guys have developed, or was this something that just kind of...
I think this is something that they
more
probably
circumstantial.
Yeah, they probably got some information on it and probably did an overflight and verified it. And,
you know, I had somebody... We were talking about what legalization is going to do or not do.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had an interesting perspective, and I had not thought of it, that it's going to be the neighbors turning in their competitive growers.
Yeah.
That haven't taken out the permits.
Right.
As a way to kind of eliminate the competition, increase the or decrease the supply, however you want to perceive
right.
it, and that you guys might get hit with a rash of these things.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. You know, here you have one person trying to comply with local ordinance and state law, and another person's not. You're trying to live by the rules, the other person's not. So, you know, it all tends to fall in line, doesn't it?
All's fair in love and war and growing.
There you go.
The propositions came out. They've all got their fancy numbers now. Was mm-hmm. it 64? I think it's the one that is the legalization.
Mm-hmm.
Have you spent any time reading it
no.
to see what it might mean? Or are you going to rely on somebody who just grinds through that stuff to tell you what it means if it passes and be able to kind of anticipate a little bit?
Sure. You know, I mean, if it passes, that's the question right there. I mean, our state sheriff's association and is looking at it. So, you know, I'll get an analysis and I'll look at it also. Right now, it's not really on my radar at this point. I'm still dealing with medical marijuana and illegal marijuana. So,
and the clarification all around medicinal marijuana.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a whole tangled web of its own.
You know, wouldn't it be just kind of cool if the state AG just kind of came out before she was running and said, here it is. Here it is in 6 to 12 bullet points. Here it is. Everybody, let's all go at it unified so everybody knows what's going on.
I've been asking for that since 1997. Hasn't happened.
You don't think she's going to step up and do that one before she runs away?
No.
Runs for Senate?
Yeah, there you go. No. The state is has been very slow and continues to be very slow in response to this type of thing. And, you know, to think about it, put it in perspective, we got another 10 years before they say this will be fully implemented.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Downey. Mike, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, I would think, and it's not, this is outside looking in, certainly, the two shootings that have happened this week that have been picked up by the national press, and I, granted, I'm a little biased on it. There were more homicides in Chicago 4th of July weekend than there were in New York and L.A. combined, but right. You didn't hear about that.
Right.
Doesn't excuse
right.
What's going on or what looks like is going on. When that kind of stuff happens, is it something that puts a shiver through the entire department? Do they just kind of shake their head? I mean, I'm thinking, what morons, what level of stupidity is out there by these cops? Or is this something that's a slanted perspective that's being reported? And it's tough to tell, you know, being a regular guy,
yeah,
which way it is or if it's a combination of both somewhere in the middle.
Well, you know, officers throughout the nation, we make thousands upon thousands of contacts with individuals every day. I mean, that's the nature of our business. The shooting, both in Baton Rouge and the one last night or yesterday in Minnesota, I think it was Minnesota, yes. Those, you're getting snippets of what happened, and that's why I'm, you know, I guess it's fine the FBI has swooped in. Maybe have an independent investigation is a good thing. But we need to wait until that's completed as to, you know, video captures a snippet, again, of an incident. We don't know what led up to it except for word of mouth and what we're hearing. Same thing with the incident yesterday in Minnesota. We're seeing a Facebook feed that came through from the individual's girlfriend that was in the car with him. So we don't understand. We don't see the totality of the incident itself. Now, it could turn out that the officers were in the wrong, and if they were, then that will be proven through the investigation. And if they weren't, there's been enough public scrutiny now that they're already pretty much tried in the news. So it's hard to say. You know, to put yourself in that position to be the officer on the street making a contact, especially in the environment we have today, as far as what's going on the street at the street level, it's a precarious position to be in.
Have you adjusted the training, the ongoing training that you guys and gals go through to accommodate or allow for some of this stuff?
You know, our training is pretty extensive. California is one of the leading states as far as training individuals to be able to handle any type of situation. But there's always the unpredictable, the unknown, the throwing the wrench in the works type of thing that you don't see coming. You get blindsided by it. But we try to train for every possible scenario out there, and it comes back to reflexive sets, you know, being able to just react instinctively to an issue. But there's so many issues out there, so many different things that can happen that. You know, can we miss a scenario that we didn't see coming? Sure, and then we adjust to train for that. So, you know, I'm pretty proud of the law enforcement we have in this county, and I've seen the training of most everyone that goes on. I think we're pretty highly trained. And I think we respond well to things.
Am I being stupid or Pollyannish when I think that when I hear the word profiling,
right?
What I say internally is experience.
Yes.
That's how I define, I see them interchangeable. Is that accurate, or is when they reference profiling, is there something more at work there than just the officer's experience in the field?
Well,
or the department's experience?
That's a good point. And when you have an officer that's been on the street for a year, and then you have another one that's been on the street for 10 years, actions of people become fairly predictable. Now, does that mean 100% of the time this person is, you know, this type of situation is going to play out the same way every time? No, but it's pretty predictable that this is the course of action that's going to take place. So some people might call that profiling, but a lot of what we call it is instinct and being able to, from your training and experience, being able to to react to a situation because you've been through these situations before. Do we call it right 100% of the time? I don't think you can say that about any profession or any line of work or anything that we do in our life as being 100% right every time. But we have to be able to read the signs, read people, understand actions, and being able to react before a critical incident occurs.
So does the training overlay the experience, or does the experience overlay the training?
They're pretty interchangeable. You know, I think the training initially overlays the experience because you have a very small experience base. But as you progress in your career, the experience, you know, surely adds to that training.
So it doesn't overtake the training necessarily.
Right, because
or supplant it.
Right, because we I don't care if you're a 10-year officer, a 15, 20, 25-year officer, you're still going to get the same training mandated by the state. So everyone's going to get the same training continually.
And I would imagine it's like anything else. After you have a certain experience pool, when you hear something, it's interpreted a little bit differently because your experiences are now different.
Yeah, you could say that. I think there's some validity to what you just said. Yeah.
So when someone says duck, you don't look up. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Mike Downey.
Yeah, thank you. Great introduction.
Thank you very much, yeah. You know, I always love, I've only seen it once. A man who needs no introduction.
Yeah, okay.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah, walk down. Yeah. That's probably why I don't get to MC too many things, because I do something like that.
Yeah.
What's all this fine print here? Is this making you a fine man? No, okay, it's just Mike. Oh, geez, Louise. Search and rescue. I mean, that is part of what you folks have to do. We had the story with the fellow at Siskiyou County, the Eureka guy that set a fire. I would imagine that there are other less overt things that one can do to draw attention to those. Or if you in that spot, you know, we've never talked about that's a way to draw attention, but certainly fire in the woods in summertime would be something that would get people's attention.
Right.
How to do it safely, you know, so that it's a contained thing rather than, you know, what would have happened if the fire would have circled around and they would have been killed by their own fire.
Right.
I mean, you know, you don't think about that kind of stuff in the heat of the moment. Bad pun, but I'll go with it.
It was, but that's okay.
Thanks. Thank you very much. So what does search and rescue recommend if you get lost?
Well, you know, there's some strategies that go back, way back to people that have been lost over the years. You know, there was campaigns at one time instructing people to stay put. If you're lost, don't continue to wander. You know, find a tree that you can, wrap around, so to speak, and stay put there, and near an opening where you can be seen. Instead of wandering, because what happens when people continue to wander around, they get further and further into areas that are harder and harder for the searchers to find. A lot of times, people that are lost are found within a mile or two of where they started out at, and so it's best not to wander around too much. I mean, you expose yourself to physical exertion, increased hydration, those types of things, versus staying put. and trying to fortify yourself where you're at. You know, some of the simple things that people should carry with them are like a mirror, for a reflective mirror, so they can, if you are lost and there's people looking for you, you can at least signal that low-flying aircraft, so they can see, get an idea where you are. You know, things that would make you more visible than not. You know, colorful clothing. You know, finding a clearing where you can actually lay out some things that would catch the eye of someone overhead. You know, listening to, even have some type of a device that might put out a loud blast. You can have handheld devices that are really small that'll put out a loud blast.
Oh, like those things they have at the ballpark?
Right, something like that even. You know, so there's some way to find, you know, to zero in on where you're at. And if you're gonna hunker down somewhere, which is advisable, try to find a place where you might have an access to water or other things that you, or things you can use to make shelter with, depending on how long you're gonna be, you know, in that predicament. So the best thing is to not overexert yourself by wandering around trying to find your way out if you are hopelessly lost. Some people have a really good sense of direction and can navigate themselves back to a trailhead. Other people don't, especially if you're in an area you've never been in before. So, you know, search and rescue is a big thing, a big part of what we do. And, you know, the other thing that is common to happen is the reporting party waits till the end of the day when nighttime is falling upon the area to say, you know, they're supposed to be back 5 hours ago and they failed to come back. So that kind of puts us behind the eight ball even a little bit more, because we now have to do a hasty search at night just seeing if we can find some type of sign, and then the next day we have to come in with ground searchers to do a more extensive search.
Easier to find somebody during the daytime than the nighttime?
Yeah, I would say so. Because of the use of aircraft and that type of thing. You know, I always, when I backpacked, they make these survival strobes that the military uses.
Yeah, the pulsy things?
Right. Yeah. And I always carried one of those with me just in case. Because at night, that thing will light up a whole canyon almost. They're so bright. So anything that can draw attention to you is advisable.
At one point, there was a recommendation. Go to a creek, go to a water source, it flows downhill, keep following it. Eventually you'll cross something. I would think with some of the steep canyons we have in the area, that's kind of a tough thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say how far that's going to be, unless you have done extensive research on the area before you've gone into it and know that, okay, well, this creek is going to take me down to a bigger water source, that's going to eventually take me down to a river or whatever. Unless you know that ahead of time, it's a crapshoot to be able to say that I can follow this water source down, because you don't know how steep of a canyon you might get into.
That waterfall?
Yeah. You might work yourself into a spot where you can't go up or down. And then you're deeper into a canyon at that point.
When you're doing the rescue, do they follow the major waterways in the area? Is that one of the things that they will try to pace out, or do they just kind of grit it off and go?
Well, they'll probably grit it off. They'll go, you know, point of last, the person was last seen, and they'll try to predict, you know, where they may or may not have gone, and then do grid searches from there.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back, final couple moments this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. See, I got it right.
There you go.
Blah, blah, blah.
Very good.
Talk Shop, even this one, is presented by Redec and by CDH Penny. Mike, the summertime is here. I guess we might be into the summer weather pattern here in a couple of weeks. Get out of the rain.
Right.
What are some of the things that you suggest for folks if they're going to be out in summer, just kicking around for a day, kicking around for a weekend? You know, beaches, things like that. We don't really think that much about suntan lotion. We don't think that much about Riptides because it's kind of, it's expected, I think, for a lot of us. But yet, those things get people every year.
Sure. You know, I mean, especially in the North County, North State of California, we don't, especially along the coast, we're not used to those summertime activities as much unless you go inland. So, you know, it's always best to be aware of your surroundings. You know, we talked earlier off the air about rivers and stuff. You know, the rivers are now, the flows are down a little bit more than they were, say, a couple of months ago, but some of our rivers are still very cold and very swift. You know, you can be overtaken pretty quick if you're not aware of that. You know, to be on one side of one of our rivers in the north part of the county here and say, I'm going to swim to the other side, it looks really easy. It may look easy, but if that river is really cold water and really swift, you know, you can become exhausted pretty quick. So it's just being aware of that. We, you know, and that's the thing that we deal with every year is drownings in our local rivers. And it's the one thing we put out public service announcements about all the time is how cold and swift they can be.
The drownings that happen, do they tend to be accompanied with booze or pot or drugs, or is it just you're in over your skill level set? You know, the 8-year-old trying to swim the stream, right, or the 88-year-old trying to swim the stream, and they just don't have it.
I think you have a whole mix of all of what you just talked about. You know, we do have those that go to have a good time on the river, and they may have indulged a little bit heavier than they should have, or they thought they did, and they get in the river, and they're overcome, and they're unable to react quick enough to get out of a situation. You know, or their judgment is off a little bit, and they're unable to realize, you know, hey, I should probably turn back. And the same thing with, you know, with children and older individuals that get into these positions. That there's a point where, boy, I am in too deep, so to speak. It's a pun, but I need to turn around and get out of here. And we sometimes think, well, we'll be okay. We'll get to the other side. It's not a big deal.
Your pun wasn't nearly as bad as mine, though.
No, it wasn't.
No, so we'll have Thank to work
God.
On that.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, we got another month to work on even badder puns.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, 911, even if you're not sure that somebody is lost. 911, even if you're not sure that something's problematic.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I, you know, we try to restrict 911 calls to those that are true emergencies. But if you feel that there you have one brewing, you should.
Thanks for coming by.
All right, thank you.
See you tomorrow morning.
All right.